This morning, our devotion comes from Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20. And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to our Sunday school class.
Sunday school lesson today. A couple of weeks ago, Lisa and I went to Victory. They were having a family conference, and it was good. I don't think any of y'all managed to be there, but one of the things that I brought back with me was Brother Jeff Moran, back in the 80s, had a study on humanism, and I've got that here, and I printed it off if anybody wants to read it. And then I found out later, from Colin Dyer at Mount Calvary, that he had done it again in 2012. And again, this is Jeff Moran, which I believe is
Billy Moran's son.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, this is The Danger of Humanism. The first is in three parts, and it's pretty thick. And the second isn't quite that much. It's more of a condensed version. But very informative, and it lets you know what's going on in the world and why some of the things are happening that are happening. It's not just blind luck. I don't want to really use that term, but the Satan is organized, I guess would be the best way to put that. Satan is organized, and he's got a plan, and he's fulfilling his plan, and he's doing a good job of it. A lot of things that I wasn't even aware of. So anyway, if y'all would like to take this home and read it, you can. If anybody wants to print their own copy of that, it's in a PDF format, and we can get you a link to that. Okay, so if anybody wants more information about how to print it off, listen to it themselves. See Lisa, she'll tell you. But here's a copy right here if anybody wants to look at it later on. Just to let it be right there. And if you feel free to take that home, but when you finish reading it, please bring it back if someone else wants to. Just share it, pass it around. I found it interesting, and it brought some things to my mind that I hadn't really understood, I guess would be the way to say it. So anyway, moving on, we're starting a new quarter today in our Sunday school book, and we're going to be studying our 18 articles of faith in this quarter. So lesson text today, we're going to go to the book of Luke, and it's four verses here. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and that says, Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now this is Luke writing, and he's making this statement here in the second verse that others have set forth to write down that being... I suppose Paul and Matthew and Mark to write down the things that they had witnessed and the work that Christ had done and all the things that had transpired. in this time period. He's saying they've written it down, and it has come to his mind here that he needs to do the same thing. And he's in some of the words that stood out to me are most surely believe. That is, there is no doubt in Luke's mind. It's not a, well, I believe this is what happened. I think this might be the case or anything. This is a sure thing, is what he's saying that he believes. And he also says that which from the beginning were witnesses. Now, these men that wrote this down were eyewitnesses. I mean, they were present and had physically seen the Lord and witnessed what had gone on and occurred. But the witness of each and every one of us that are saved today is no less important and no less valid, because we have an obligation to the world to tell them the things that have occurred. I have a witness. I have something that has happened for me. I can't say what Paul saw or what Luke or Matthew or Mark saw. I can read and tell you this is what they said they saw, but I didn't see it. But I can tell you what happened to me. I know what happened to me. I was there. And it's every bit as sure for me as what Luke is describing. And so from that sense, we all that are saved, we have a witness, and we need to be putting those things in order also, whether it's to write them down or make the video that I believe all of us here sat down when Otis Jones was here and we made that video. But we need to get the word out. We need to let people know what we believe. Now, in order to let people know what we believe, we need to know what we believe. And so that's what we're going to be studying in this next quarter, our articles of faith, and how that we back that up with biblical scriptures, because that's it doesn't do any good for me to tell someone that you have to repent to be saved if I can't go and find that in the Bible. I need to be able to find that. And I believe Luke chapter 13 and 3 would be a good place to start if you want to tell somebody that they have to repent to be saved. And I've had that in my mind for quite a while, for several years. I want to just go ahead and turn to it, because I don't have a lot to say today. Yes.
One thing about Luke that's unique about any of the other gospels is that it's those first four verses, it talks about what we most assuredly believe. And if you'll look real close, in the next 24 chapters that he writes, there's 24 common things that we as Baptists believe and teach. And you combine all 24, it's based on the articles of faith, 24 chapters, 24 things that you believe in. 13 is one of those about repentance.
Oh, okay.
But you'll be able to find it if you look, and I can bring my Bible brother. Vanderbilt Priest of Doctrine, Sermon and Disciple Association, pointed out all 24 of those doctrines in each one of the chapters of the book of Luke, and they're in there.
I'm glad you brought that up and pointed that out, because I had never noticed
that. I'm glad to share that with anybody that might see it, or even go online, that they'll be in the ministry school and look it up, and all those 20 numbers won't be there, but some of the Disciple Association book. I don't know which one it was,
okay.
But I do. One of my Bibles, I have all those outlined.
But if you're going to tell somebody that they need to repent, in the 13th chapter of Luke, it says, starting with the first verse, it says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And the reason that this kind of sticks out into my mind is because these Galileans were kind of gathered together, and they were talking about other people. They were talking, man, those people over there, they're sinners. They're just those are some horrible people. There's no way they're going to heaven. They're going to hell for sure. And Jesus said to them, you think they're bad. Unless you repent, you're not any better than they are. That's paraphrasing here, because he says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You're going to perish just like they are, unless you repent. So, and that's sidetracking there off of what our lesson is. But when you need to talk to somebody about repentance, to me, that's always been a really good one to turn to. Now, as I said, I'm not going to have a whole lot to say today. I've pretty much said it all. I'm going to go to our lesson key for just a second. But I've told you, you know, we're going to be studying our articles of faith and why it's important, because we need to be strongly grounded in what it is that we believe and able to back it up. As I said, you know, it doesn't do any good to tell somebody, well, I believe this, and then you can't go find it in the Bible where it says that. So for that reason, and I think it's good that this study of the Articles of Faith is a good thing. Now, in Hosea 4 and 6, that's our lesson key today, and it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shall be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. This is this tells us how important this is. This isn't something that we just, oh, you know, it'd be good to study the Articles of Faith. That might come in handy someday. No, this is a very important thing. This is very serious. And just that last part there, because thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. If we neglect to be in a position of understanding what the Word of God is and knowing what the Word of God is, because it's not important to us, the Lord has said, your children won't be important to me. And I don't mean that as in they're not important to Him, but we won't be in a position to instruct them the way they need to be instructed. So, having said all that, I'm just about done with the Sunday school lesson today. Does anybody want to bring up anything? Any thoughts? I would encourage everybody to study these throughout the week and just kind of let it come to your mind. And also, it's not a bad thing to study some history to see how some of the organizations that claim to be churches but really are not, how they came to be. Because that's very much, I don't think that originally, for the most part, the people intended to go off on a tangent. I know that y'all all have heard it said in the past how that many of the churches, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, and various denominations believe pretty much the same thing that we believe today, and yet today they don't. They don't. They are, I believe they've fallen under the snare of humanism. My personal thought. You can study those two things, the humanism and the history of the churches, various churches, and I haven't studied a whole lot, so I can't speak a whole lot on it, but I've read a little bit, enough to know that, again, Satan has a plan. He has an organization that he has developed, and he's working his plan out. Does anybody have anything? Any thoughts?
Looking at the whole Bible, and I was separating it into the Old Testament and the New Testament, because I'm thinking, wait a minute, there needs to be an end somewhere. What is this, the Bible end? heart. And I noticed that all, and I was writing down all the books of the New Testament, and who wrote those, and they all saw Jesus. And in Paul, who wrote in his book, he faced to face with Jesus. He didn't hear the teaching of it, but he was taught by those who did. And I mean, he was really wrapped up in there and was told to go, and he went. And everybody else was there. And he said that all these people were walking around with Jesus. So cool. And it's like, hey, you don't know. Let me tell you what it was like here in the scaffold. You know, like, I was there, I saw that. Let me tell you. One day an angel came and they talked to the shepherds and they said, the baby's here, the baby's here.
Sisters, nieces, they're bringing their ideas and
not, it's just like default. I mean, that's just the way they were taught, right? Mm-hmm. We have Methodist, Catholic, General Baptist, Southern Baptist, two people that came into the church. One of them got saved by one of the Joel Osteen. And what big 100, I mean, it's 20,000 people in downtown Indianapolis, you know. And his wife both got saved. But when you question about it, I mean, you know, they wanted to join the church, we couldn't accept them. You know, we have a lot that came from the Church of Christ. People say, well, people from the Church of Christ can't get saved. Well, I disagree with that. A lot of them don't know what they have, but they got a time and place. You know, they even, you know, they come, you know, we come here a little bit, he was saved, he was raised Church of Christ, they got saved at home. Had other people come, while I was in the baptistry, what do I need to do to join the church? Well, are you saved? Yeah, would you get saved? You know, well, I got baptized, I didn't ask you that. I had to ask my son in law that one time. He's modern Baptist. Was, you know. And I said, where'd you get saved, Tom? Well, I got baptized. I didn't say, I said, I didn't ask you to get baptized. I would get saved. And so, it is a reality of what we face now. And a lot of, you know, Catholicism really is tainted with a lot of humanism ideas as well. And we've got a lot of other denominations that aren't even Christian. I mean, we have to deal with so many religions in the world. You know, there's over 5,000 religions in the world.
I didn't know that.
God wants it here. It's not even a matter of whether we want it here or not. God, we have to. Yeah. That's what being a witness is. If you look at the word witness in the Bible, you know what it really means. You know what the Greek word witness means in the Bible? It's derived from the word martyr. Martyr. I got to be a martyr to be a witness? Absolutely. You're not going to know Christ until you die of sin. Become a martyr to sin. Then you can be a witness for Christ for a short period of time. You'll have a very short period of time to be a witness for Christ. A true witness for Christ. Now, they're not a witness for Christ. If they're really good slain, are they really a martyr? I asked the question. He responded. You responded. Go around the room. What did we do? No, I got one piece of paper for us. Yeah, what would you say? I mean, every one of us may be faced with that today or even this week.
Well, yes, when you asked that question to me, I took it as, and this was wrong on my part, I took it as, what do we believe that the rest of the world doesn't? Now, I don't know if a majority of the world believes God created the world or not. No. Okay, but I would have said yes until I read those papers there. And those papers opened my eyes up a lot to things that are going on in our churches that we've allowed to come in and didn't even really realize it. So, I mean, it's eye-opening. It really is. And
sure. What we believe about God's Word, what do we believe about God's Word?
That's inspired. It's the whole truth, and it's inspired.
Yeah, it's divinely inspired. Mm-hmm. You know, but even the Word has been watered down and polluted and interjected with a lot of. And as you mentioned in here, one of the issues that was going on in the 1800s was there was all those that were Baptists started having Calvinistic views. Called predestination, you know, which is a byproduct or a foreproduct of a postproduct, I guess, of the millennial reign, the premillennials. But, you know, a lot of people made a lot of money on just a movie or a book, you know, about the, what do we believe, you know, what do we believe about the rapture? We sing some songs about the rapture.
We sing songs about it, but we don't believe it.
It's not in the Bible.
Well, that's why we don't believe it.
It's interpreted as being in the Bible, but it's not in the Bible. What is it? Well, you've got two, three different issues. What do we believe Baptists is the rapture? Some Baptists believe that the rapture means that the church is going to be raptured out. There's going to be a 1,000-year reign. And while that 1,000-year reign is going on, the Jews and everybody else will have a second chance to get ready for the Lord. You believe that?
I don't think so.
There's some of our people in our churches do.
Well, that would be more like, I would come near agreeing with that, because it's going to be a day of great happiness and joy for me.
That's a Google, though, isn't
it?
Webster. Yeah, modern Webster, Marion Webster. Let's go back on what Webster said in 1828 about the rapture.
I do. Yeah. It took me a minute.
Schofield believes it. How many of you got a Schofield Bible? The rapture. Believe in swallowing the camel.
Seizing by violence, little use. Transport, ecstasy, violence of a pleasing passion, extreme joy or pleasure. Music, when thus applied, raises in the mind of the hearer great conceptions. It strengthens devotion and advances praise into rapture. Rapidity with violence, a hurrying along with velocity, and rolling with torrent rapture, enthusiasm, uncommon heat of imagination. You broke bread that once was rapture rid. So a lot of that I don't understand.
What it does say is what it does say. That's the point.
Okay.
If you look up Merriam-Webster's dictionary now and some of the modern things since 1828, it's got a brand new meaning now. It means just what I said. In most denominations, and even to be raptured out, and then the millennial reign will take place. Whereas, and I'm going to say it, the ones that have dealt with that one are the Church of the what is it, Jehovah's False Witness. Man, they don't believe anything. They believe the 144,000 are going to be raptured out. Everybody else. Going to live on a new earth that's going to be just sheared over where lambs and lions lay down together, and that lion ain't ever going to eat that little lamb anymore because they're placed in perfect peace and harmony. And it's just going to be sheared over.
And is that going to occur? Is that going to have 1,000 years and then the end?
That's eternity.
That's eternity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like you say, that
right.
It's not right.
How do we know it's not right? What Bible? Which verse?
Well, in Webster's 1828, raptured is ravished, transported
out.
Mm-hmm. But in rapture is generally used. You were talking about Bible versions and. Lisa looks up these things that she puts in the bulletins, and
and she brings to me, and I look at them, and I say, that doesn't look right, because most of the things that's found online are not King James. What was the one? Because he first loved us, we love. And I said, that's not right. Something's not right.
Well, we love because he first loved us.
We love because he first loved us. And I said, there's something not right about that. So I looked it up, and we love God because he first loves us. And when you leave that off, you've left off everything.
But I kept searching for even under King James, for my images, and it was extremely hard to find that one word put back in that verse. So that means that all the other verses being flooded out there. When I do these bulletins, I look for pictures and whatnot, and when I did the Lord's Supper, it was hard for me to find anything with unleavened bread. Everything had a loaf, nice, hearty loaf of bread with crack on the top, which means that it's rising nicely. And it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't change. Everything is being diluted, mixed truth with untruth. You think bread is wine, not the blood. And the first thing when we think of the bread, it's big, hard loaf bread. And they don't go back to the original, we need to be ready to go. We don't get risen dough, we get unrisen dough.
When you think about leaven, that's salt, right? Salt is what makes bread rise.
Yeast.
Baking powder. Well, never mind.
Yeast.
Okay.
But I've got those brand samples. A lot of those questions we answered in this long week. That deviates even away from the Southern Baptist to be kind of included over the years. Here's my J.M. Edison's book. It's a 1928 edition.
Is it going to be any different than the 1966 that I have?
Yes, 1925. It's
different. Okay.
Not much different, but it's different.
Oh, in there, it even commented on page 178 that we were told about in our book.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bring the pen to the map.
On page 178,
it says,
this is on the last page. It says, we talk about church covenant, and it says, some were adding pornography. And another word in there,
drugs.
To stay away from, to abstain from. And they said, church covenants are different, even. So you can't just go online, Google church covenant, all right, that's ours. You can't do that because even just adding one or two words now makes it either yours or not yours. And ours do not have that in there. So you have to. He's saying really pay attention and look. And if you don't know what you're looking for, it's really hard to find it. So that's the point. I guess that's the big point. If you don't know what, like Terry was saying, he was thinking the first thing from the article, well, what makes us different? Well, what makes us the same? Are there any points in them that make us the same? Are there any points in them that make us just totally different? So if we don't know, we won't be able to argue our case.
About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I had a preacher call me from West Tennessee. He'd given up the church where he was pastoring and said he was going to another one, but the church that he's pastoring said, we really don't even know what preachers to call now because somebody had never been teaching that 3 millennia and the Calvinism and the Lordship
that this is all a direct effect from the
humanism.
And it is coming into our churches.
We're not spiritually discerning of it. Yeah, and it's. Please pray for me. I pray a long time, but God, if I ever say anything to set the people here, if anyone's stray, that's not according to your will, I pray that you strike me dead before that words out of my mouth. That's just the way I feel. I have a soul's precious. Every soul.
There are preachers who are raised up in this way, taught strongly. All the life I've grown up, the fathers were preachers in the ministry who taught it very strange that, you know, it's just hard for us to believe. It's heartbreaking. It's scary in one way because we know that it takes a stronghold on your places, but it's also sobering to remind us about being shortcoming and how important it is for us to see the truth. And you know the truth. He knows it. Yeah. In our side.
Let's remember prayer request. Let's keep Brother Spurgeon in our prayers, because of all these things that we've talked about. He's, I would say that he's probably one of the bigger targets for the devil. He's one that's going to be attacked. And each and every one of us will be if we stand up for what we believe and know what we believe. Don, would you dismiss us into a word?
Copy this. I was just copying this.